एक मिनट रुक जाओ, रेडी होने दो। चलो ये कर लेते हैं, दिस कुड बी अ ग्रेट इंट्रो।
हाय, आई एम अक्षय।
हाय, दिस इज सौरभ एंड यू आर लिसनिंग टू द फाउंडर थीसिस पॉडकास्ट। वी मीट सम ऑफ द मोस्ट सेलिब्रेटेड स्टार्टअप फाउंडर्स इन द कंट्री
एंड वी वांट टू लर्न हाउ टू बिल्ड अ यूनिकॉर्न।
Hi, I am Pulkit Agarwal. I am co-founder and CEO of Trill.
2020 was truly the year that Bharat came online. With the lowest data rates in the world and a large base of young population, India is poised to become the biggest internet market in the world. And with the policymakers taking a harsh stand on Chinese apps, a massive opportunity opened up for Made in India apps. One of the most prominent of these new age apps is Trill, a lifestyle video platform that focuses on encouraging meaningful local content targeted at Bharat. Trill is one of the fastest growing video platforms out there with a reported valuation of $400 million. And Pulkit Agarwal, the founder of Trill, tells Akshay Dutt the fascinating journey of how he discovered and built up the community that is today the Trill app. Listen in.
My love for engineering goes to very early days. When I was essentially 8 years old, I used to visit my father's office, play with those MS-DOS-based computers. Got really intrigued into the world of technology while I did that. Started kind of coding on it on C++, Java, and you know, then started developing some applications, right, to help my father in the daily chores. I think that was a moment when I discovered that I like to build things using technology, using coding. And that was a fundamental kida, right, that I had, which landed me to engineering. And I think that kida just kind of kept on, and I kept on building stuff, right? So that's precisely, I think, was more about my entrepreneurship journey then, thinking I'll start doing entrepreneurship since my childhood. Yeah.
Okay. So you joined IIT Bombay for like a 5-year BTech MTech program. So what were those 5 years like? First time away from home, you know, was it like a tough transition, or like did you have a blast?
So I think those are one of the most beautiful moments, right, I had in my life, right? So IIT Bombay, or in fact, for a matter of fact, any of the, you know, really good colleges, right, have amazing culture of the fact that you have some of the smartest brains, right, that are out there, right? And no matter which field you select over there, or no matter which direction you think about, there's always somebody who is striving hard, right, to be the best over there. Now, that creates a lot of, encouragement that, yes, there is some action happening over here. And B, it also creates a lot of competition, right? Because everybody wants to be best at what they are doing, right? And these are some of the smartest folks you are hanging out with, right? So I think those were transformational years for me, right? Wherein we had to really, let's say, it was like you are thrown into a swimming pool and you have to figure out how you can float and then swim, right? So those are kind of those years, but, you know, came with immense learning, amazing friend circle, a lot of enlightenment about how, you know, the technology is changing the world, how people kind of aim for their goals and they kind of, you know, go extra mile to achieve them, right? So all of those helped, you know, me kind of in shaping up, you know, the personality a lot, right? Or my thought process a lot.
Okay. And were you like a kitabi kida on campus also, or was it like a more all-rounded experience? Or
so I was I had decided when I went to IIT Bombay that I will kind of try out things outside my interest for studying, right? This is where when I entered institute, this was the time of 2011, right? So if you see, this is a time when Android operating system was kind of becoming popular, right? And smartphones were becoming everyday computer for users, right? And I think I was, you know, very early developer of Android, probably, you know, the first 1,000 developer of Android apps in India, right? Also developed couple of fun apps in my first year itself. It included like advanced UI UX calculator, because I just didn't like the UI of, you know, those days of other apps. Also developed like Monopoly Money Tracker, because, you know, we used to kind of play games, right? And we didn't used to like counting notes, and we're like, there should be a technological solution to this. So All of this fun stuff. Got like, you know, more than 10,000 downloads. Used to be a big feat then, right? Because very less number of people used to have smartphones, but very humble numbers as compared to today's scale. But yeah, those were the initial days, I think, you know, from exploring anything to everything. And then after that, got interested into film and media and dramatics, also became the secretary of that in my institute itself. Learned two or three things about how storytelling is impacting emotions of people, right? How technology is enabling various form of arts and storytelling.
Were you like parde ke samne or parde ke piche?
Dono. So I used to do a lot of editing also in film. So I developed like 2 to 3 short films. And I also gave some of the voiceovers and played, you know, some role in the dramatics as well, right? So I typically tried everything to kind of understand what I like, how I like it. But I think the fun part of that was that how technology was kind of enabling all of this, right? So we used to just love the kind of softwares which were helping you to kind of, you know, change your voice or kind of, you know, build in some effects while you are editing a movie, right? And then how you do the modulation in your voice to kind of, you know, give a certain effect, right? So the same dialogue spoken in like 3 different emotions, right? How does it kind of create an impact? So I think those are fun times, right? We were just playing a lot around with, you know, the things that we had, and we had some blend of creativity around it, which made me very intrigued. And one of the things that I could appreciate, like while I was, you know, the secretary over there, was that in my year, we receive one of the maximum participations, right, for a film competition, right? So earlier, typically, if you see every year, people used to get typically like, you know, hold a film competition in the institute, you would get like around 50, 60 odd entries. In our time, it was close to around 200 entries, right? And the reason for that was typically because now people could shoot movies through their smartphones, right? Because video had just arrived. Creating short films using, you know, smartphones were much, much easier as compared to, you know, some of the previous batches where people required a digital camera or a DSLR, etc. Right. So I think those are some of the really, really amazing fun parts of it, right? You know, which made me fall in, you know, kind of love with content and, you know, the creativity aspect of that.
Was that also the genesis of Trell that year as the secretary of the Dramatics and Film Club?
I think it's always like you can connect the dots when you look back, right? I would never know that, you know, that is something which could help me in, you know, kind of creating something like Trell. But I would say that gave us a lot of understanding about, you know, how content is being there on the internet or all across the world, right? And how to break that down, how to really synthesize, you know, the impact of it. So I could say that that helped in the journey, but you know, at that point of time, I wouldn't know that I would be doing something like a Trell.
So how did Trell come about? I mean, I can see that you didn't really take up a job after IIT and you straight away started Trell. So which means that while on campus only you started it, or like, you know, how did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there were 2 moments wherein I decided to, you know, kind of choose the entrepreneurial path, right? The first moment was that while I was there in the institute, I also did, you know, an internship, right? And unlike a lot of people who are into creativity, I did internship into coding, right? So typically, you know, in our institute, people who are very creative, they generally stay away from, you know, coding, and people who are very coding oriented stay away from creativity. I happen to be a kind of a guy who was very intrigued about both the, you know, blends of both the two. So when I did those internship, right, it was a fantastic internship. I was, you know, working with Qualcomm. It was a 2.5-month internship. I also, you know, kind of applied for the patent over there. It was a fantastic run, right? And I also got an offer from them that, hey, why don't you join us? But what I just learned while doing that internship is that whatever I'm developing, right, I'm not able to really see how it is impacting people directly. Right, because it's a you know, B2B company, right? There are a lot of things that you develop technologically which are very advanced, but unfortunately you might not see, you know, the light of the day till, let's say, a very long period of time, let's say 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, right, when that technology actually reaches the hands of people. So that was something which, you know, intrigued me a lot, that made me think a lot that, hey, I do love to do this, but would I love to kind of keep, you know, developing, you know, technology which I can't see, you know, impacting people directly? And the answer came was no, right? I want to develop something which I could see how people engage with it, how they interact with it, and, you know, how I could help in solving problem of them. And this is where that was the first, you know, turning point wherein I decided that, hey, I don't think I'm a fit for a job kind of an environment. I do want to build something and see how people react, right, on those things. That was first. And second, I think we were facing a genuine problem, right? So me being a foodie, I come from Jaipur, right? So Jaipur is very popular for food, like, you know, pyaaz ki kachori milti hai yahan pe, aapko dhokla, bati, all of that, right? Amazing cuisine, right? And me being a foodie and my you know, fellow co-founders who are into, like, you know, backpacking, fashion, gadgets, etc.
All your co-founders are your batchmates? Like they're all from IIT Bombay?
Not all. So Arun is my batchmate. So we used to call him a super secretary, because any technical glitch would happen wherever, it will reach to Arun and he'll solve it, right? So he was that go-to guy for anybody, right? Whenever you are facing any tech challenge. Right. And then I met Bimal, who's my second co-founder, during our, our Mood Indigo day. So I also happened to be a core group member of our college culture festival, Mood Indigo. And he was leading his own culture festival at Institute. So we collaborated, we met there, and, you know, we are friends together since then. And I met Prashant during the, you know, film and media and dramatics, you know, stint. Right. So he was very active in photography, in filmmaking. Right. So I think, you know, this is how all of us kind of met. And all of us, you know, used to kind of jam together. Institute mein, like, every night you would do some kind of a chattering, right? You will kind of collect into a room and kind of think, you know, out of the box, or, you know, just do chattering. One of the chattering that came along was, you know, which stuck us, right? That, hey, we have a lot of interest, right? But, you know, wherever we scout, you know, some relatable content around our interest on the internet, right? We are not able to find relevant answers. For example, let's say, as I mentioned, that I'm a foodie and my other founders are into backpacking, bike riding, you know, fashion, or, you know, kind of gadgets. We used to search for very simple queries, like, how do you cook a simple recipe from your, you know, hostel room, right? Or how do you kind of dress up for various occasions, be it a date, be it a, you know, a wedding, be it a party, etc., right? Or what are, you know, some of the ways in which you could, let's say, reduce hair fall, or, you know, make your hair grow, you know, faster, right, etc. And whenever we used to kind of search for these very simple, you know, kind of queries, we used to end up with a lot of clickbaity blogs, right, or a lot of content which was written by Americans for Americans, right? So at the end of the day, we did not have a lot of relatable content which was there in Indian cultural context to make certain decisions about our lives. So for instance, one of the funny thing that happened was when we used to search what to cook from hostel room, right, the results we used to get used to involve, you know baking cocoa powder, marshmallow, etc. And we are like, hey, where can we buy marshmallow? I have never heard of this stuff. And there was some, you know, very funny moments that used to happen like that. For example, if you search what is the best street food, you know, you could eat in your city, right? A very generic query, right? They will suggest you a bagel with whipped cream, and we are like, hey, we have not heard with these two terms, right? We are very dumb, or the internet does not know what we want. So I think there were a lot of, you know, kind of such kind of suggestions given on the internet, and we just realized that the content is not in Indian cultural context, right? And it's also not according to how we have grown up, right, over a period of time. And we said that if we are facing this problem of discovering relatable and meaningful content on the internet, just imagine what will be happening with the 99% of the audience, right, which is coming on the internet, utilizing it, right? And that was where we decided that, hey, let's solve this, right? Let's solve the discovery of meaningful lifestyle content, right, for the ecosystem. And that was, you know, honestly, the germination of the journey of Trail, right? And this was year of like 2015-16, right, when we started this. Yeah.
Did you were like a bunch of college kids, and, you know, did you really have that broad a vision, okay, let's solve the problem of finding relatable content by building a business? Or was it just like, something to do as an experiment, and you had been doing a lot of experiments and trying out stuff, so this was just something that you also tried out, like, you know, how did that whole thing actually get off the ground? Like, was it a well thought out idea, or was it just an experiment which could have just as well been one of many other experiments, but it got traction, and then you decided to focus on it and scale it up?
Sure. So I think we were very passionate about solving that problem. We had not thought about how we are going to build a business or how we are going to raise fund or what is there right at the end of the tunnel or anything, right? We're just like that, hey, this looks like a very interesting problem. It impacts, you know, let's say millions of people in India. And if we solve...
Did you think that you're making a video platform or...
No, we did not. I'll tell you how we kind of started off. So the only initial thought we had was, how about we create a community, right, of people like us, right, who can come on the internet and start expressing about all of these queries in our respective languages. And if we do that, that could solve the problem for somebody like us who's looking for it on the internet, right? Google is already there. You can search that. And that was the simplest idea with which we started this journey of building a community.
Okay, so this would be like a Facebook community kind of a platform.
Correct. So this was a community on the existing social platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Medium. All of these were the popular social networks, right? At, you know, that point of time and even today. So we said, let's use these networks. Let's curate this kind of a content and information on the internet in Indic languages and see the, you know, kind of response of users, right, on the internet. So what we used to do was we used to collate like best of photographs and videos from some of the bloggers right there in Mumbai and outside Mumbai by pinging them on Facebook personally or kind of just chatting with them on an Instagram DM, etc., right? So we used to kind of ping a lot of people like that. And we used to kind of ask them to share some of the good photographs of their journey, tell us about their journey. And we used to kind of then create a nice, you know, a people's-based magazine kind of a blog, right, on all of these networks, right? So one of the successful experiments that ran for us was on Instagram, right? So this was time of Ganesh Chaturthi of 2016, right? When me and my founders went out and we said, let's cover all the, you know, hidden gems, right? During this festival, right? We all know about the famous top three pandals, but people don't know about the other things that happen as a festivity in Mumbai during those time. In fact, me being there for 4 years, I myself was not aware about it, right? So we went out with some of these, you know, blogger friends, clicked some photographs, started sharing it, right? And we got some amazing response from the community on Instagram, right? And then we said, let's keep doing this. And in a matter of 6 months, right, by just sharing good content with high quality photographs and short videos, right, we got to more than 100,000 followers in a matter of 6 months, right? And we were still in college. And
these were followers for Trell as an account?
So our account was called Trell Mumbai, right? So, you know, therein we got, you know, all of these, you know, followership. And it went through its own changes in name, right? It started with Trell Tail Mumbai, then it went to Trelling Mumbai, and then to Trell Mumbai, right? So, yeah, it kept on refining as a name. But yes, we got all of those followers on our handle, right, in those days. So I think that is how the journey, you know, kind of started, right, initially, by just building a community. And then we started meeting these people, right, the community members, because, you know, you're very proud of building, you know, that kind of followership. If you imagine in 2016, there are not many handles above 100K, right? And we were, you know, one of them. And we were very popular in Mumbai and some of the other cities where our handle was gaining a lot of traction. So we started organizing meetups. We started organizing photo walks to meet our audience and understand, right, why they're engaging with us. What are some of the things they like about, you know, us as individuals for sharing this content, etc. And that gave us a lot of insights, you know, on the basis of which, right, Trell was formed, right? You know, just to share some of them, you know, first of the insights we got to know while we met these people was that if you see everybody today, right, in India, or most of the people today in India have these aspirations that they call themselves by the second name, that I'm a foodie, I'm a traveler, I'm a fashionista, right? I'm a gadget freak. And they take so much pride in calling themselves by these passionate names that they want to make it a profession, right? When we met all of these guys, nobody wanted to do a 9-to-5, right? Everybody wanted to be a full-time traveler or, let's say, doing some creative stuff in marketing or maybe a food blogging, etc. Right. We didn't hear any of the normal 9-to-5s that you would hear, be chartered accountancy, engineering, doctor, etc. Nobody said that. Right. And we said that this is a changed world. Right. There are a lot of people who are looking to essentially establish themselves as a persona like, you know, a fashioner, a fashionista, a foodie, a traveler. But there's no, you know, kind of platform
like a social media influencer in a way.
Correct. So influencer was not a very established term then, right? But they wanted to be somebody like that, right? But actually, the fact was that they wanted to share their stories about these passions. And they didn't have a right platform wherein they could do that so that people could recognize them by these, you know, adjectives or passionate names. So we figured it out that, hey, you know, a lot of people want to be recognized by these names, which are related to their passion, but they don't have a storytelling platform wherein they could share all of these experiences in a meaningful manner. At that point of time, if you imagine, you know, they had something like medium.com, right, wherein, or WordPress, wherein they could write blogs, but they were not very well versed in English, and hence they always hesitate, right, to write, you know, those long textual blogs. In fact, we ourselves never wrote, you know, blogs for that matter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
That was like pre-TikTok, pre-Instagram Reels kind of an era.
Yeah, there were 2016. Instagram was new, almost like 1.5 years old. Instagram had just launched, you know, I think videos, which were, I think, allowed to 1 minute or 30 seconds, right? So all of those things were kind of in very nascent stages. YouTube had some very few popular accounts like, you know, TVF, AIB, etc., right? Not heard of any vloggers there, right? So
it was not very easy also to upload on YouTube from a mobile.
Yeah, that's true. And even not today, right? So even today, when you know, you can't really just, you know, upload something so easily on a YouTube, right? So we figured out that these people want to do storytelling, and the existing platforms are not very, are not great enablers for them to do that. On Instagram, they shared fragmented photographs about either how they look or the beautiful scenery that they are capturing, right? But they never talk about their experiences over there, right? They never share their stories there. When it comes to YouTube, it was a cumbersome task for them to edit their videos, apply an audio, then have a desktop, and then upload it, right? And hope, you know, they'll get reach. So that was also a very cumbersome task. And blogging, as I shared with you, people were not well versed with text, right? So for them, it was a, you know, difficult task. So we said that yes, people want to express about their passion, but they don't have a platform, right? Can we solve this, right? Was the first insight. The second thing that we learned about the TG, right, which you know, took some time for us to really understand, but for a matter of fact, if you see all of these people, they were amazing storytellers in the online world, right? If you ask them about anything, how did they cook a recipe, how did they plan their travel, how do they dress up for wedding, etc., they comfortably speak with you like for hours and hours, right, and share all sorts of stories about it, all sorts of, you know, A versus B comparisons, etc. But when you see them in the online world, the same person, when you see the persona in an online platform, you see fragmented photographs, let's say on an Instagram, without any description, right? Not giving you any essence about what this person actually knows, right? And there was a mismatch, right? A person who was a storyteller in offline world, but in the online world, they were not, right? And when we kind of try to double tap on that, try to understand why that is happening, we figured it out that A, people were not very comfortable to express in English as a language. Most of them were expressing in their own native languages and offline, right, when we were meeting them. Second thing, that their world was not so glossier like you would see on Instagram, right? It was not so glossy. For example, you wouldn't find them going to Paris, Sydney, London every now and then. Right? They had a very localized life. They had these small joys that they used to enjoy, and they used to talk about that, right? So they used to feel, you know, kind of underconfident while they used to kind of think about expressing about them. And lastly, you know they just felt that, hey, if they try to express in English as a language, right, then people would do a mockery about it, right? So they were very inhibited in a world where everybody's speaking in English, everybody's kind of doing a hi-fi life, to talk about their own, you know, stuff, right? And this is where we figured out that this community needs a conducive platform, right, wherein they could essentially express in their own languages about the local things which matter to them more as compared to the international stuff, right? And, you know, something where they could be recognized as, you know, storytellers for their passion, right? That, hey, you're a fascist, you know about this, you are a foodie, you know about, you know, certain stuff, etc. So I think we just combine all of these, you know, insights together. And that is when we, you know, launched the first version of Trell as a platform. This was launched in mid of 2017. It was a visual blogging platform, or vlogging platform as we call it today, right? Where people could come, they could share the, you know, fragmented photographs, attaching it with voice notes, or let's say sharing videos up to 3 minutes and share it on the internet, right? So that's how Trell came into the existence and became, you know, a vlogging tool for them.
So you know, typically when somebody makes a product, so you always look for inspiration at other products which are already out there and to guide what your product should look like. So what was that inspiration for you? Was there something like that already there in terms of a video blogging platform? Because I don't think TikTok was out at that time, no? So like, what did you take your inspiration from to build the product UI, UX and all of that?
Sure. So I think there were a lot of inspirations that we tried to take from a lot of platforms that were out there, but none of them were kind of catering to this need, right? So we had to always come up with a fundamental thought ourselves. One of the product which was close to it was, if you remember, Google's photo story, right? So what Google used to do, and those times they used to collect their photographs and make a photo story out of it, right? Wherein you could just swipe things and kind of see, you know, the entire experience coming out. So that was one of the initial inspiration for us to understand how blogging could be in future. Then definitely some of the UI UX elements you would always get, you know, inspired from the folks like Foursquare, which was, you know, also into location based, let's say, check-ins and blogging and gamification. Then Instagram was there, right, which was multimedia, right? And I think these were the, you know, some of the only platforms that we could refer to, right, which were closer to what we were trying.
Mm-hmm. And how did it look like, the early version? Like, was it like a feed, the way you have like a Instagram feed and a...
Yeah, wherein you would see a, let's say, a photograph or a GIF playing, right? It will have a title. When you tap onto that, there is a photo story which opens up, or a video story which opens up, which auto plays in front of you. This is where a protagonist, or let's say the content creator, would come in front of it, right? They either start speaking about their experiences on, you know, the moving pictures, or they would kind of shoot their own videos and narrate their entire experience, right? So that was fundamentally how we were thinking of a visual form of blogging, right? So what if you kind of just remove all the text that is involved in blogging and make a very, very fundamental visual way of expression, right? So that's how it came into the existence, yeah.
So, abhi tak aap apna wo kharcha kaise nikal rahe the? Like 2017, you launched this. You had passed out in 16.
Correct.
So, and your other co-founders also. Matlab, isse koi revenue to ban nahi raha tha na? To,
bilkul.
Ya koi revenue source tha kya? Matlab.
So, there were multiple things that we did, right, to get this launching, right? Get this launched, right? I think to talk about us, you know, two of our founders had already graduated 1 year before, right? So Bimal and Prashant had already graduated, and they had, you know, their own jobs that they were pursuing in Bangalore and Hyderabad respectively, right? So they had some savings, right? Which kind of helped us in passing the, you know, first 8 to 9 months, right? So I think immediately after, you know, me and Arun graduated, we took a house just opposite to IIT Bombay Gate. You know, there was a small 1 BHK, right? We used to be like 10 people living over there, right, including founders as well as a lot of interns. So the same place used to become an office in the morning, right? And at night, the same place used to become a place for sleeping. So
Well, you had gaddas in the almari or something, or ratko.
Exactly. Like, I thought that we are living a life similar to a movie, right? In a movie that you see that, okay, morning mein matlab wo badshah ban jata hai aur raat ko matlab ekdam change ho jata hai, right? So I was like, okay, exactly, this is what is happening here. But yes, those were days. We had to kind of, you know, had that environment to attract some interns, right? So especially if you are kind of looking for interns from IIT Bombay, they'll ask you 10 questions, right? Before they're like going to say, okay, I'll work with you. So we had to kind of make sure that we are professional there, and it's at least give them an environment wherein they feel like that, yeah, this is a fun work, you know, place to work, right? And contribute. So that is how essentially we started Kickstarter journey, right?
Ye interns kyun chahiye tha aapko for building the product?
For building the product, for managing the community. So by then we had already discovered these insights, right? And we wanted to build a product on top of it, right? So it took some time for us to build the product, and for that interns were helpful, or even for kind of managing the community events that we were organizing, right? So and we used to offer, you know, interns free food for the community meetups, right? Because we used to tie up with, let's say, restaurant or the places. We used to invite a lot of bloggers, you know, the places used to kind of pay for food and everything because they were getting popularity. And that's how we made some initial bucks. That's how we ensured that interns are happy, and hence we were able to kind of float in the initial days.
ओके तो दैट जो इवेंट से आपको मनी आ रहा था वो तो बहुत ही मिनिमल होगा ना, इट वुडंट हैव फंडेड इवन योर सर्वर कॉस्ट, मतलब हाउ डिड यू पे फॉर द सर्वर कॉस्ट एंड ऑल दैट?
I think ecosystem has been kind to us, right? There were a lot of credits that all of the platforms out there provide to the entrepreneurs in the initial days, right? So AWS had a program. We got selected in Facebook Start, FB Start program through which we got some credits. We were also selected in NASSCOM 10K program because of which we got certain credits. So we used to apply to a lot of these, startup programs, which facilitated us, you know, with the initial credits. And I think that is how we were able to manage some of the tech costs initially, right? And then after that, it was a, you know, definite time wherein once we had the product launched, we had like, I think around 5,000 to 10,000 users. We thought this is a good time wherein we should meet some of the potential investors and see if they would be interested in this idea, right, to invest.
So when did you start meeting investors?
This was in 2016 end, right? Typically around, you know, October, November, right? So I think we met, that was the toughest round, right, of our life, right? So we must have met like more than 300 folks, right, through...
And these were like...
Angels.
Small level, like angel, okay.
Yeah, everybody, like your college senior to an ultra senior, to somebody who's been ex-entrepreneur, who's currently an entrepreneur, right? So wherever we got an opportunity to pitch, right, be it a Aroma's Cafe in Mumbai to, you know, some random bar to a Lyft, right? Wherever we got an opportunity.
Lyft also,
wherever, you know, people used to invite us, we used to go and tell them.
Elevator pitch.
Correct. And we didn't know all of these terms at that point of time, right? Because this was our, you know, first time in pitching, right? People used to ask us these questions that, hey, do you have your company registered? We are like, okay, we need to get it done. And they used to ask us that about, hey, you know, can you share with us your cap table? We are like, we don't understand this term at all. So we used to kind of, pitch one investor, ask the other ones who have, let's say, shown interest that, hey, do you know what is cap table? Can you help me with that? and that's how we used to kind of... get certain things done initially, right? So but I think ecosystem was kind to us in a way that they made us meet a lot of folks. They were not kind to us in the sense that nobody used to believe initially that these guys would do something, because at that point of time building a community or a social network was not so successful in India, right? I think we were the
well, people would have thought that Facebook ne already social media market captured kar liye, toh ab koi space nahi hai.
Correct.
It would have been most common response would have been that only, I guess.
Absolutely. They used to be like, you know, Facebook would do it. We are like, Facebook had a lot of time in 15 years to do it, but they couldn't, right? So why would they do it now? So, I'm sure like people used to have all sorts of doubts about, you know, this, you know, space. And at that point of time, you know, definitely the ecosystem was not mature to understand how communities and social networks could be formed out of India, right? So, I think in the initial go, we got like more than 30 angels together to build our round, right? So that we have to kind of pitch to more than 300 to really get them on board. But I think those that was the toughest round, but yeah, most memorable round as well.
But did you have clarity ki itna paisa raise karna hai hume aur aise spend karna hai?
I think we had the clarity about the fact that how much we need to raise so that we'll just survive for the next, you know, 12 to 14 months, right? Which would allow us to build the product in a more mature manner, right? And we had the clarity of the fact that, hey, more than money, we are looking to find the right people on board, right? Who can, you know, believe in us, and even if there are downs, they could guide us, right? In how, you know, we could, you know, overcome it. So I think we were looking for those initial believers and backers, and we were fortunate to find some of them, like, you know, Apramaya Radhakrishna, who's ex-Taxi for Sure founder, Nirav Choksi, who happens to run Credible, right, which is a fintech startup now. Then Harsha, he happens to be our, you know, alumni from IIT Bombay, and he's been a mentor, right, since our day zero. So these are some of the, you know, initial folks who had shown a lot of, you know, kind of faith, right? Similarly, Ramesh Nivadlu, he used to kind of lead strategy for housing.com at that time, right? So these are some of the folks who just helped us in kind of meeting the right side of people, thinking about it in a right way, right? And yeah, that's how it ended up.
How much did you raise, and when did you close this round?
So the fund round closer to almost like 6 months, right? We raised around 200,000 at that point of time, 250,000 at that point of time, $250,000. Yeah.
कितना हुआ रुपी मतलब
just almost like 1.6 year. Yeah.
ठीक है got it. Okay. So then what next? Like how did you use that money and how did the growth happen? So by the time you closed it, what was the numbers like? Like the MAU, monthly average users, like a monthly.
I think we didn't
users,
used to count monthly active users at that point of time because very, very young. We were still learning about some of the metrics that are the right way to evaluate our business. We used to count at that point of time the downloads and registered users. We had like more than 20,000 downloads, like most of those users coming from the community that we have already built. Right. So there was zero money spent on marketing literally for us. Right. So the community we built on Instagram, they kind of came to the app, started using it. And that's how we, you know, got the initial, you know, users onboarded. Then after that, I think, you know, the next 6 months was more about refining the product, right? Refining the use case of the product, right? So that's why we kind of launched it in the mid of 2017, right? We had this, you know, MVP on which there were certain users using it, but we had to refine it like almost like 19 times before we launched that final product, right? Wherein we landed it correctly. And from there on, the growth journey started happening. We built some of the inherent viral loops, right? Wherein we ask users to, you know, come, you know, post their content on Trail, and then they share it on their own social channels, right? Be it Instagram, be it WhatsApp, be it, you know, whatever, Twitter, etc. Right?
Well, you made it easy to share, like single click.
Yeah, single click sharing, right? So you create your content here and then you share it on your other channels. And that's how more people discovered us and they started using.
Share just a link to it or share the whole video?
Both. So we gave them the ability to share the link as well as a video. So let's say if you have shared a 3-minute video on Trail, we'll create a teaser or a video for you, which will be almost like 30 to 45 seconds, right? Like a trailer of your video. And we allowed that to be shared on your other social platforms.
And that would have the Trail branding on it so that people get to know. Okay.
Correct. Cool. So it used to have follow me on Trail, right? Username follow me on Trail that way, right? So a lot of their friends used to ask them that, hey, where did you create this cool video, right? And some of them came to Trail, they followed them and started, you know, sharing more content. So
this is also what I think helped TikTok also, like to build the initial awareness.
Absolutely. I think they had also built this viral loop. But when they came to India, they came with a bag full of millions of dollars. When we started, right, we came with a bag full of nothing. So that was a different.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, like, how did the user growth happen, like, over the next year or two?
So when we launched this version in mid of August, right, so we almost kind of grew, you know, 10 to 15x year on year from there, right? So it's almost been 3 years. The first year we grew from zero users to more than 80,000 monthly active users with more than 200,000 downloads. In the second year, we grew to close to around 2 to 3 million monthly active users. And the following year from there, currently, like we are more than 35 million monthly active.
Wow. Okay. So how does, what does 35 million MAU look like? Because wo number samajhna mushkil hai. If you can compare, for example, ke this product has these many users compared to us. Like if you can just place it in a larger context.
So just to give you some context, right? We are larger than, you know, the monthly active user base of Twitter and Pinterest on mobile in India, right? So we are larger than them. And this is like, you know, at that point of time when we reached there, we were like almost 1/3 of Instagram's, you know, monthly active users, right now. So that is the kind of a scale at which we are, you know, kind of looking at, you know, the pace of growth. And I think this is larger than, you know, most of the, you know, vertical e-commerce platforms that you see today, right? This is much larger, you know, kind of volume than any of those platforms typically.
Yeah. Okay. And it is essentially like a made in India video, like a vlogging platform, right? Like so what is the monetization strategy? Like, is it through showing ads or what is it?
Sure. So I think just before, you know, jumping over there, just to, you know, kind of summarize, right, the journey. Today, now, Trell is a, you know, storytelling platform, visual storytelling platform for our users, where they create like 3-minute vertical videos about their interests and passion in the lifestyle categories like fashion, beauty, recipes, gadgets, in their own languages, right? So it has become a community.
One question. So users can tag it, this is fashion or and this is Bhojpuri, for example.
Yeah. They can tag both languages and, you know, the category of content and hence increase their visibility with the like-minded audience on the platform.
And when I sign in, you will ask me my language and my interest and then accordingly show me on Correct. My feed relevant. Okay.
Correct. Take so it. When you Order. Kind of log in, we ask you about your demographic details, right? So as to show you the right personalized content, right? According to your interest.
Okay.
So that is how, you know, kind of Trell got structured and, you know, it kept on growing from there. In terms of, let's say, monetization, right? So just before that, right, we just realized that while, you know, a lot of people were sharing this distinctive and unique content on Trell, a lot of them were becoming popular. Right. And they were becoming influencers on Trell. We met a lot of these influencers and tried to understand, right, why they are sharing content, what kind of content they are sharing. We discovered a lot of these people were sharing suggestions and recommendations about either services, products, right, that they use to enhance their lifestyle. Right. So, for example, if you're somebody who is a, you know, deep into beauty, you would share about some of the cosmetic products you use to style yourself in a certain way. Right. If you are somebody who is passionate to talk about, let's say, you know, how do you take care of your hair, you would kind of take certain, you know, kind of a shampoo or a certain kind of conditioner, and you would kind of talk about, you know, how it benefits you to kind of have better hair as compared to the others, right? And they would kind of talk about all of these problem solutions. And we said that if you see it, you know, holistically, because a lot of these influencers are already talking about some of the products and services, we started looking at the comments, you know, what consumers are commenting on the platform. And there were very interesting comments that consumers posted, like, hey, you know, for example, one of the comments was, Didi, aap bata do, ye kahan mil sakta hai? Meri local dukaan pe nahi mil raha hai, right? Didi, ye safe hai ke use karna, right? And all of those comments where people were asking more and more information, right, about these products and were looking for the ways in which they could buy it seamlessly, right? Some of them were also not very confident and well-versed to kind of use e-commerce platform, right? So we kind of try to reach out to some of these consumers and ask them that, hey, are you using e-commerce apps? And they seem to be not so confident or sure about the fact that they should use it, right? They didn't have enough trust on it yet, right? Which was, you know, because they were very new to the internet. For them, every website is same, right, in a way. So we discovered that a lot of these influencers were enabling, you know, people to discover new products and services through which they could enhance their lifestyle. And consumers were looking for a way in which they could buy those products from the website, from the app, I mean, right? And this is when we said that, hey, let's enable this, you know, exchange of information and buying of goods on the platform in the form of social commerce, right? So 6 months back, we kind of enabled this, you know, journey wherein we tied up with a lot of brands in beauty, cosmetics, personal care, and wellness space, got them on board and enabled them to, you know, kind of enable a lot of influencers to talk about their favorite brands, whatever they feel like. And if consumers like it, they could buy it from the platform itself, right? So that was more around enabling this natural habit or natural behavior which was forming on the product. And that created a business model out of us, right? So that's how it works. Like when we get a brand, right, whatever orders happen on the platform, we get a commission for it. We share some of those commission as incentives with the KOLs or the influencers. And consumers get a convenience to really discover the products and services in their own language and also buy that from within the platform.
So tell me, how does it actually happen? Like if I am an influencer, do you like personally reach out to me, or is it just on my app only that there is a list of products that I can sell? You know, how does that happen? Like matching an influencer with a product?
Sure. So right now we are curating that in a way. We have only enabled it for some top 100 influencers on our platform. The reason being that we wanted to make sure that we test this out properly, right? And we first see that how the top influencers are, you know, kind of reacting to this whole enablement, right? Because we built a community after by putting a lot of effort and wanted to make sure that it's trustworthy and it's authentic, right? Even when we kind of launch commerce, right? So Initially, we kind of went out to our, you know, top 100 influencers who are creating content in these categories, enabled, you know, this matchmaking process on the app itself. So they have a dedicated dashboard through which they are able to see what kind of brands are there. And they have the ability to choose the right product and talk about it and tag it on their own, you know, kind of videos, right? So this is not visible to everyone. This is only visible to them. Yeah.
Okay. So for a consumer, when he's watching a video, kya hota hai? Matlab niche ek line likhi ho jati hai, buy now?
Yeah. So for example, let's say when you're watching a video on trend, right, you will see a product image and a buy now button with the pricing, right? Now, while you're looking at a video, you can either choose to click on it or you can choose to ignore and move to the next video, right? Let's say if you decide to buy, you can click on that button. You will be taken to a product page and you can make the payment and, you know, you'll receive the product at your home.
So you are handling like a full e-commerce solution also, like in terms of the logistics and warehousing and all of that, or like how did you build that part of it? Or is it with the brand? The brand is just receiving the order and then they take care of the rest of it on their own.
Sure. So imagine it's like a launchpad for a lot of upcoming internet first brands or D2C brands, right? In India, right? So all of these brands have typically, you know, the infrastructure and supply chain to make sure that they could fulfill, right, the orders that they receive from whatever channel, right? We become a channel for them to kind of receive those orders, right? So at the end of the day, we are more of a technology enabler for them, right? And a consumer experience advocate, which ensures that people receive goods at time, right? But the supply chain is typically taken care of by the brand today, right? Yeah, that's how it works. So it's a marketplace, right, where we more on pass, you know, the orders to the brands. Brands take care of the fulfillment and consumer gets the product. Yeah.
And how does the brand integrate, you know, ke wo inventory hai uski ya nahi hai, if something is out of stock?
So there is enough infrastructure made in the ecosystem through which you can do that. So there is a complete SaaS tool, right, which we have developed and integrated with a lot of other partners as well. Through which order management is done, through which the tracking of the order is
like
done.
You integrate with Shopify and all of these. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So imagine we are a kind of a influencer-led Shopify for these brands, right? So they are able to kind of integrate everything and the whole information, you know, flow happens smoothly, right, through that.
Okay. And how much comes to the platform and how much to the influencer, like broad percentages?
The influencers get enough that they earn more than, you know, what they would usually do, right, if they are into a job, right? So to give you some of the numbers, like our top influencer in the last month earned close to around 1 lakh rupees, right, in just 1 month, right, through sales, right? And that's
but
kind of
a growing. Lakh in how many sales, like kitne items beche us 1 lakh ki earning ke liye?
Yep. So I think they must have sold products like worth almost 15 lakhs, right? Almost 15 lakhs of product worth they must have sold, right, to get something like that, right? So that is how the earning structure is like, right? And typically, the way it works is that, you know, if you see from the influencer's perspective, right, we have just enabled a lot of things for them, right? Now, sitting at in any kind of a city, be it a tier 2 city or a tier 3 city, they could just show content, they can post content, they can also choose to partner with the favorite brands and, you know, kind of make a living out of it, right? So for an influencer, it's a completely automated platform, right? It's complete handholding to help them in, you know, making a living while sharing content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's much easier than doing it through Instagram and all. Wahan pe, like to integrate a buy button, I don't think is easy to do.
Not easy to do. It's technically challenging, right? Both for the influencer. At the same time, like imagine, you know, if you have to do it on any other platform, an influencer would need a manager who would help them in managing the brand collaborations, right? Because influencers' job is to create content. That is what they're great at. They're not, you know, somebody who does, you know, BD, you know, business development, tying up with brand, negotiating deals. That's not their forte, right? And they shouldn't be kind of indulged in that kind of activities, right? So that would take its own time. Then secondly, you know, when you kind of share all of this content while you're collaborating with the brand, you need to give, you know, call to actions. You have to create a report, send it to the brand. Then brand will kind of, you know, transfer the money. You have to keep a track of that, et cetera, right? So there's a lot of to and fro that happens today between a brand and an influencer, which makes this whole system very, you know, inefficient, right? Now, with the help of Trill, you don't need a manager. You don't need to negotiate on the deals. you are assured of the fact that you will get a payout at the end of the month if you're creating right content and people are loving your work, right? So that way we have kind of really simplified the life of creators, right, in one way. If you look at it from the brand's perspective as well, right, today, if you think about any, you know, upcoming internet first brand, they go to an agency, try to tie up with like 50 or hundreds of influencers, you know, share content. They're not assured of a certain reach that they will get. They're not assured of certain sales they can get.
Very performance driven marketing. Matlab, wo product bika tabhi aap pay kar rahe ho. Product nahi bika to kuch payment nahi ho rahi hai.
Huh, correct, in a way, right? And a brand gets a more conducive environment. They get a platform wherein they are able to tie up with these influencers seamlessly, right? And at the end of the day, they are assured of certain performances, right? Metrics that they will get, right? So for a brand, it becomes much easier as compared to otherwise how it was fragmented. And definitely for the end consumer, it's like the smoothest process they could imagine, right? While you are consuming content, you also get to, you know, really get that add to, you know, card button, and you can just make a transaction of whatever you like, whatever thing you're watching, right? So it's a aha moment for them.
So yeah, 35 million users, mein, how many of them have ever done a transaction? Like, you know, wo conversion rate kaisa hai? Like,
it's pretty good. I'm definitely cannot, you know, take the numbers right now. I can't talk about the numbers there, but that's pretty much in hundreds of thousands, right? So hundreds of thousands of users have kind of purchased from the platform today, right? And we have not yet opened, you know, the e-commerce for the entire audience. We have only opened it up for like, you know, around 25% of the audience today. And we'll open it more and more as we get more comfortable with the supply chain process and customer experience that we are getting on the platform. So our main focus is to make sure that once user buys the product, that their experience is really good. And if that is good, then we can keep, you know, expanding, you know, this reach that they can get.
Okay. But the plan is to kind of open it up and allow anybody to choose a product and promote it.
Not anybody. So let's say a journey of an influencer would start from first gathering audience, right? Building that trust amongst the community that yes, they talk something which people love to kind of, you know, kind of show belief in. And after that, we'll enable that window for them to really collaborate with the brands, right? So it's a natural community progression. You come here to create content, exchange ideas, etc. Once you become popular, you have these avenues of monetizing, right, through social commerce.
They would need to hit a minimum follower count or views,
yeah,
or something like that.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, the biggest problem with user-generated content is porn. You know, like, how do you handle that? And tell me about that part.
So just to give you a context about the platform, right? You know, we have more than 65% of our user base, which is females in nature. Right. And they contribute like more than 75% of the content on the platform. So we are a very female friendly platform. And one of the, you know, the initial, you know, decisions that we took was the fact that we don't want to stand for a raunchy or NSFW content. We want to make sure that there is no NSFW and raunchy content on the platform so that people have higher level of trust and they could do, you know, conversations and, you know, share more meaningful stuff on the platform. So that way, we have a very strong, you know, community guidelines and curation policies. You wouldn't find even a single NSFW content on Trail being floated on your feed because it goes through multiple checks, right? It goes through a, you know, automated machine learning algorithm, which kind of curbs like 95 to 99% of all of this content. Then it goes to the community leaders who are already part of our community who kind of, you know, flag any kind of content which is not safe for the larger masses. And then, you know, our team kind of always keeps a check about, you know, what people are watching, which content is getting more views, and is it safe, right, for the larger masses to look at.
So these community leaders are like volunteers who have agreed to do some moderation.
Absolutely. They take a lot of pride in doing that, right? So that is a beauty of community, right? The people who have been there on the platform for a very long time, they are so you know, enthusiastic about what's happening on the platform, and they're so committed to it that now they have become a self-policing cycle, right? They've created a self-policing cycle wherein they don't want, you know, this pure, you know, the pureness of the community to really get lost.
Okay, got it. Amazing. Okay. So give me highlights of 2020. It's been like a pretty monumental year for you. Tell me about that.
I think it's been monumental in so many ways, right? So one of the very obvious things which people know of is that we grew like from almost, 2-3 million monthly active users to more than 35 million monthly active users in the last 1 year alone, right, in 2020, which was a huge growth.
A part of it was due to the China ban, right? Like,
absolutely. There were multiple factors which kind of contributed to it, right? One of the factors was, definitely lockdown, right? Because of lockdown, a lot of people kind of were, you know, spending more time on their smartphones. They were looking at new apps to really spend their time and engage with the audience. And they found Trail, right, and kind of started engaging with it. Second was definitely lockdown. After lockdown, definitely the Chinese app ban, right, which led to a movement for people to adopt more Indian apps. That led to a really, really good, traction or, you know, organic growth for us. Then some of the, you know, great, you know, marketing activities done by the team, right? So the whole community building wherein we launched our own anthem. So we were the first and the only app in the video space which launched its anthem with Sukhvinder Singh. And then you must have seen a lot of people kind of followed and, you know, copied the similar stuff, right? So we did a lot of innovative community building exercises which ensured that even if we don't spend much money, we are able to kind of really grow well, right? And that turned out in our favor. So these were some of the highlights for enabling, you know, growth in the last 1 year. I think apart from that, our team size almost grew, you know, to 2x to 3x, right? So which was a huge feat, right? Most of the team members were hired remotely. They worked remotely, right? And they stood together when all of this was happening, right? So it's a very, you know, kind of, you can say stressful as well as exciting experience, right? Wherein you have to cater to such massive growth happening on your platform. And team came together, they spent like, you know, odd hours to make sure that, you know, they would do justice, right, to the experience for the consumer. So that was another monumental, I think, you know, learnings for us.
Right, right. And you also got validation from the investor community.
Correct. So that is another milestone in the journey. We got like validation from the investor community, to kind of, partner with us in the journey ahead. And lastly, we launched, you know, social commerce, you know, entirely by working from home. I think we are the only, you know, startup which achieved that, right? And we are kind of scaling it up really, really well. So I think these are some of the really good highlights of 2020, which will stay with us for a very long time.
So tell me about the funding. Like, you know, the first time you had like a really, really tough journey with 300 plus pitches. So how was it like this time around?
So I think, you know, whenever you kind of go for the progressive funding, you have more signals and data to back you up, right? While you have kind of more data and signals to back you up, definitely the doors, kind of open up. So I think, you know, this funding was more of an outcome of the incredible execution that team did. There were a lot of people who were interested to kind of be a part of this journey. We are looking for the ones who really would stood with us, in both good times and bad times, and were ambitious about the way we were progressing, right? Because we are building something which, you know, India has not seen before, right? So I think we got some good partners. We got some really, really ambitious and, those believers in those, you know, kind of investors who onboarded us. And this was much better as compared to how we raised first time, right? Because when we raised first time, we had, you know, very, very little signals or, you know, data or metrics, right, to back us up.
Okay. So how did Surge happen?
I think Surge happened much before, right? So while we were kind of growing in our second year, we got in touch with the Surge team. They kind of looked at what we are building. They identified that we have a very differentiated content. We have an amazing community. They're spending a lot of time on the platform. And they mentioned that, hey, you know, this seems like something which has a huge potential, and they decided to invest in us, right? So I think that happened more organically than anything else. And the relationship stayed and continued from there.
Got it. Okay. So any advice for young entrepreneurs, people who are early in their journey thinking of a startup, or maybe thinking of that, should they think of a startup?
I think the way to think about the startup is you don't do startup for the sake of doing a startup or to, you know, earn money, right? The reason why fundamentally you should be starting up is because you're so passionate about solving a certain problem, right? Or impacting the masses with positive way, right? With your solutions, right? So I think, you know, for anybody who's looking to start up and who is, you know, or is aware about a problem that they believe that they can solve in the best way should definitely jump onto this, right? And I think, you know, as an advice, you know, I would just say that they should dream, they should think big, right? Because if they didn't, you know, kind of really think big or, you know, break the status quo, right? They wouldn't, you know, kind of make such large outcomes or large impact or the large organizations, right, in India. So I think, you know, people should be ambitious and they should think big and they should really solve the core needs of, you know, the audience in India, right? I think this is the best time to start up. There are a lot of problems that, you know, we can solve, right? And India is becoming digital, you know, much faster, right, in the last few months as compared to what it was earlier, right? So this is the best time, I think, for anybody to solve large problems.
Believe it or not, since we recorded this conversation, Trell has added another 10 million monthly active users, and they now stand a clear leader with 45 million monthly active users. Do check out the Trell app at trell.co. That is trell.co.
You like the Founder Thesis podcast? Then do check out our other shows on subjects like marketing, technology, career advice, books, and drama. Visit thepodium.in, that is thepodium.in, for a complete list of all our shows.